1 Corinthians 1, from verse 10 to verse 17. One of the difficulties of being a preacher is that the text often speaks against the preacher himself. This short discourse now, this passage here, I don't preach it because I've attained to the good spirit that the apostle puts before us here. I preach it as a rebuke to myself, but trying to be faithful to God's word, it is a rebuke to us all believers. For this is the first of Paul's criticisms, objections, corrections for the church at Corinth. He has been informed, verse 11, it's not gossip. He knows through some from Chloe's household that the church is divided into groups, factions, sects, parties. There's distinctions there. There's the cult of man there, and they're quarreling. My brother, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Oh, Paul's the man for me. He's got it. Not Peter, not Apollos. No, no. Paul, he's the man now. No, no, Apollos is. No, no, Peter is. Some say, well, a plague on all your houses. It's Christ for me. And even that can be said in the wrong way. It's the cult of man here. It's boasting. It's pride. It's bragging. It's division. Popery, in essence. The church at Corinth was riddled with it. There was division and quarrel and faction and clique, groups there, little denominations within the assembly. Notice the loving way that Paul starts this criticism. I appeal to you. I appeal to you, brothers. I appeal to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let this happen. Agree with one another. All of you agree with one another. Be no divisions among you. Be perfectly united in mind and thought, in the way you think about things, in the views you take, and in the attitude you have. And even when you disagree over things, Romans 14 and 15, do so in love. Have the spirit and the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. For he takes them to Christ. Is Christ divided? Luther it was, I think, I understand, who said the way we make progress is to go back to the beginning, where we came in. And where did we come in? The cross of Christ. Let's measure everything. Let's measure all our attitudes in the face of the suffering Jesus, the one who bled and died for us. Was Paul crucified for you? Was Peter crucified for you? Was Apollos crucified for you? They may be your teachers, yes, but were they crucified for you? And you can even use the name of Christ as a swear word in this party, bragging, proud spirit. You can use the Bible as a swear word. Of course, the pagans use Christ as a swear word, but even believers can use it in that way, the name of Christ. Oh, my brothers, this should not be among us. I said it's difficult. It is difficult being a preacher in the sense that I have to speak against myself. I've not attained to this. I rebuke myself. How can I live with Philippians chapter 2? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Look at the state of the churches today. Was this confined to Corinth? It's riddled through the churches. Now I can only speak of what I know. In the West, United Kingdom, in America, what can I see? Well, this is the very spirit of it. What? The unity? The perfect unity of mind and thought? Are there no divisions among us? I've contributed to it. But look at the cult of man we have, the megastars, the great superstars. It's been going on, well, from the very earliest days, even from Corinth. My friends, this passage rebukes us. Is Christ divided? Christ died for us. How can we have parties and groups and factions and cliques? By the way, there's much talk about outreach and reaching the pagans, the unbelievers today, building bridges with pagans, deeds ministry, relationship ministry, user-friendly churches. How should we reach them? This is a tremendous way of witness. In fact, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you have love one for another. John 13:35, I think. Look at the spirit up here. If there were no divisions among us, if we were perfectly united in mind and thought, what a testimony that would be to the world. What a shambles we are to the world today. We can have all our deeds ministry. We can build all the bridges we like. But if they see factions and the cult of man, we see it in the world, if we see it in the church, we are ruining the witness of Christ. Now, I'm guilty. I talk about myself being a Calvinist. Not that I agree with Calvin and everything. You've seen it in my works. But it's a shorthand way of saying my views on the way of salvation. But the doctrines of grace. But there's a risk in it all. But of course, even by saying, well, I'm just going to call myself a Christian, start a new work where there's none of this, actually all you're doing is adding one more to the variety. I really do not know how we're going to get out of it. Let's preach and believe and look to and walk with Jesus more and more. Christ is all. And Paul goes on to pick on one theme. It's a very interesting one. It's baptism, 13 to 17. Were you baptized into the name of Paul? And then he says this, I am thankful I didn't baptize any of you. Well, Crispus and Gaius. Nobody can say that I baptized anybody in my name apart from these two. Oh yes, there was somebody else, the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize. Now, is he playing down baptism? No. What he is not doing, and I've written about this in my book, Baptist Sacramentalism. You'll find also reference to it in some ways in my book, Infant Baptism Tested. What am I talking about? The fathers brought in the idea of sacramental baptism. And I'm afraid today, many Baptists are going back to the fathers and adopting that principle, sacramental baptism. Grace is conveyed by water. Of course, the Presbyterians and many others in the Reform movement have taken on the fathers' teaching and are wholesale infant baptizers with baptismal regeneration in many cases. The Anglicans too. Now is this child regenerate, and so on, when they sprinkle him. Paul, if he believed in the sacrament of baptism, he didn't, of course, it was an invention of the fathers, drawn from the pagan world. But if he believed in the sacrament of baptism, he would never have said, well, I don't think I baptized anybody else. I don't remember. Christ didn't send me to baptize. Christ would have sent him to baptize. If baptism brings regeneration, if baptism conveys grace, then of course, let's baptize. Let's sprinkle as many as we can, if that's what baptism is. A lot of rubbish and nonsense. Dangerous, evil, wicked nonsense. Baptism comes after conversion. It's a testimony of the grace of God within the soul of that man or woman. And by faith they're baptized. Immersed, plunged, dipped. To convey to the world, to show to the world. Not to convey any grace, but to testify that I've died to sin. I'm in the new covenant. I've risen with Christ. And my sins are washed away. Look at Paul's emphasis here. Christ didn't send me to baptize. Not there's anything wrong with baptism. He who believes and is baptized. And if you believe, you must be baptized. It's the believing that brings salvation. But the baptism should follow immediately, yes. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And of course, this will deal with the unity question again. Preach Christ. Preach the gospel. Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. That's what's going to bring us unity. That's what's going to testify to the world. That's what's going to be our witness. Unity among ourselves, preaching, elevating Christ, especially the gospel of Christ, the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, with power. And that's what we need today. Let's get rid of the cult of man and preach Christ. Let's preach Christ with power. And may God give us grace to be united in spirit, in mind, in thought, in action, so that we can reveal to the world, Christ to the world. We can show men what Christ has done for us and who Christ is by how we preach and how we live, by our lips and by our lives. There's a hint here, too, of the next issue. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom. There's the next issue. Corinth was riddled not only with the cult of man, which we are, but with the love of wisdom, philosophy, learning, eloquence, academe, yes. Are you against learning? No. But I'm against elevating it to the place where it is today. But that's the next discourse. But it's there. It was at Corinth. What does Paul say? Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. I believe we are emptying the cross of Christ of its power today by human wisdom and by our divisions, by our cult of man. Brothers, this is a word to us. Sisters, this is a challenge to all of us who are believers. May we come up to the challenge. May we show to the world that we are truly in Christ. I close with a hymn by Charles Wesley. Lord, from whom all blessings flow, perfecting the church below, steadfast may we cleave to thee, love the mystic union be. Join our faithful spirits, join each to each and all to thine. Lead us through the paths of peace, on to perfect holiness. Move and actuate and guide, divers gifts to each divide. Placed according to thy will, let us all our work fulfill. Never from our office move, needful to each other prove. Use the grace on each bestowed, tempered by the art of God. And now particularly this verse. Sweetly may we all agree, touched with softest sympathy. There is neither bond nor free, great nor servile, Lord, in thee. Love like death hath all destroyed, rendered all distinctions void. Names and sects and parties fall. Thou, O Christ, art all in all.